The Best Friend You Never Knew, Part 3. Discover His True Presence in Your Life at a Whole New Level. Reorient. In this series' most recent post, we discussed how taking your focus off of yourself and redirecting it at God is an essential first step in drawing closer to Him. Jesus Himself summarized this best when He said in D&C 88 verses 67 to 68, "And if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light, and there shall be no darkness in you. And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things. Therefore sanctify yourselves, that your minds may become single to God. And the days will come that you shall see Him, for He will unveil His face unto you. And it shall be in His own time, and in His own way, and according to His own will." Once you're squarely focused on Him, once your eye is single to His glory, it's logical to ask the next question. What's He like? Well, sure, of course, He's forgiving and merciful and just and loving and more. I mean, come on, we've known these things since we were primary aged. But you know all about God. How well do you know Him? This may have been what Joseph was referring to when he said to the saints in April 7th, 1844. He said, quote, "I want to ask this congregation, every man, woman, and child, to answer this question in their own hearts, what kind of a being God is. Ask yourselves, turn your thoughts into your hearts, and say if any of you have seen, heard, or communed with Him. This is a question that may occupy your attention for a long time. I again repeat the question, what kind of being is God? Does any man or woman know? Have any of you seen Him, heard Him, or communed with Him? Here's the question that will, peradventure, from this time henceforth, occupy your attention. The Scriptures inform us that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, and to know that we may converse with Him as one man converses with another. And that He was once a man like us, yea, that God Himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth the same as Jesus Christ Himself did, and I will show it from the Bible. If any man does not know God, and inquires what kind of being He is, if he will search diligently his own heart, if the declaration of Jesus and the apostles be true, he will realize that he has not eternal life. For there can be eternal life on no other principle. So we need to quit making up excuses for why we don't have a personal knowledge of Jesus and why we don't have a really meaningful, active relationship with Him. This was a foremost concern of Jesus. It's expressed in Matthew chapter 7, verses 30 to 33 in the Joseph Smith translation. He said, "Verily I say unto you, it is not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. For the day soon cometh that men shall come before me to judgment, to be judged according to their works. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I say, ye never knew me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now note in the Greek, the word know is pronounced genosko. It occurs 246 times in 208 verses in the Greek concordance of the King James Version. It means to learn, to know, to come to know, to get a knowledge of, perceive, to feel. In Hebrew, it implies a highly intimate knowledge between a man and a woman. Genosko is not some kind of passive, surfacey, unassertive, quick, and an immediate action verb. It's intimate, it's private, it's personal, and highly, highly profound. So with those excuses aside, how do you get to genosko, Jesus? Receive and envision what you've already been given. Here's one possibility. You start by not only appreciating, but also receiving that which you've already been given. Here's Alma 12:10. And therefore he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until he know them in full. Now for us Latter-day Saints, that means the scriptures. But here's the problem. Ever since we were young, we've been told to read our scriptures. And so we enthusiastically take part in initiatives which have us reading the Book of Mormon in 3 months or 6 months or a year. And what are we left with? Latter-day Saints who've read the scriptures but really don't know Jesus. Or in other words, the status quo. And that's unacceptable. You need to be doing more than just learning about Jesus. You need to experience him. And for many, it's pretty hard to do that when your mind's reading black letters on a white background. You need to do something different. Luckily, we've been given some clues. Here's a quote from the church's New Testament teacher manual. It says, quote, "Visualizing the scriptures. When students create a mental picture of what they are reading, the persons and events in the scriptures will become more real to them. Help students visualize the scriptures by asking them to describe how they see in their minds certain people or events taking place in the scriptures. Encourage them to focus on words and phrases in the scriptures that help them better understand the scriptural context." Next quote, Stephen R. Covey in the September 1974 Anson magazine, quote, "Visualize. This means to see in your mind's eye the characters and events portrayed in the scriptures. Such an empathetic effort will help you understand the situation that produced the teaching. Then you can relate that situation to yours and distill the universal principle that may apply in both. When you visualize, you're exercising faith. Visualizing is a powerful mental process, one of man's unique endowments. Most of us neglect this power." This is from the next quote, Elder David A. Bednar in December 2015. He said, "The restoration of the gospel in the latter days provides an important companion account of the Savior's birth in the Book of Mormon. My message highlights this additional description of the first Christmas. As we consider this episode together, brothers and sisters, I invite you to visualize yourself in these events and not merely listen to the words." Here's Elder Claudio Costa in the October 2015 General Conference. He said, "I love to read scriptural passages about his sinless life, and after reading the scriptures which tell about the events experienced by him, I close my eyes and try to visualize these sacred moments that teach me and strengthen me spiritually. Moments such as when he spat on the ground and, having made clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' and the man obeyed and washed and came seeing. When he healed the woman who had an issue of blood and had touched the border of his garment, believing that just by touching him, she would be healed. When he appeared to his disciples walking upon the sea. When he went with his disciples on the road to Emmaus and opened the scriptures to their understanding. When he appeared to the people in the Americas and told them to come unto him and thrust their hands into his side and feel the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet, so they could know that he was the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth and had been slain for the sins of the world." Here's a scripture, D&C 19:23, quote, "Learn of me and listen to my words. Walk in the meekness of my spirit and you shall have peace in me." Finally, here's Elder John H. Groberg in the January 1987 New Era. He said, "In our quest to discover our callings in life, the first and most fundamental thing we can do is to follow the Savior. Learn of him. Learn what he did, then do it. The things that he did, even though they occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, have universal application." Putting it all together, here's an example of how one could put the above quotes together into a single, logical, easily implementable strategy. Number one, click this link here to be taken to the online scriptures. It's 3 Nephi chapter 11. Number two, once you're there at the top right of the page, you'll see an icon that looks like a down arrow with a line under it. click that. Number three, clicking that button will give you three options: to download the chapter as a male or a female voiced MP3 or a PDF. Pick the desired MP3 option and save it to your smartphone, tablet, or computer. Number four, set aside a peaceful, comfortable place and time when you can listen to the MP3 without distraction. Five, when you're ready, play the MP3 and close your eyes. Six, as you're listening to the verses, visualize, see in your mind's eye the characters and events portrayed in the scriptures. Even better, place yourself in the scene of the person being healed or is interacting with Jesus. One scenario might be imagining that you are blind and you are seeking Jesus. What would you be thinking and feeling? Would you have doubts? Would you be apprehensive? Note that there are no wrong answers here. Just take yourself from the beginning to the end, as much detail as you can, and pay particular attention to Jesus. Feel the love he has for those he interacts with. Number seven, once you have seen that chapter in your mind's eye, pray for and be aware of opportunities to go forth and do what you saw Jesus do. Seek to have the spiritual creation transformed into a real physical creation. And number eight, when you're ready, move on to other chapters featuring Jesus, primarily the four Gospels and 3 Nephi. Realize it or not, control it or not, the spiritual creation precedes the physical creation in all things. Most of life's battles are lost in this private phase. Just as prayer, which is a personal secret conversation between you and God, can precede a very public miracle, so too can visualization precede other public miracles. If you're serious about this, if you truly want a relationship with Jesus, then it's up to you to make the first move. And that first move will always, always involve some form of spiritual creation. Now, on this post, I have some links regarding visualization that might help you out. Personally know the God you never learned about in Sunday school. The philosopher Augustine of Hippo once said, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him is the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement." It's indescribable to know Jesus. No words can be written. No tongue can pronounce just how wonderful he is. A few people who may have known him have said this about him. Joseph Fielding Smith said, "God is full of energy, and should we mortal stand in his presence, unless his spirit was upon us to protect us, we would be consumed, and that is how much energy there is in the celestial body." Heber C. Kimball said, "I am perfectly satisfied that my Father and my God is a cheerful, pleasant, lively, and good-natured being. Why? Because I am cheerful, pleasant, lively, and good-natured when I have his spirit. That's one reason why I know, and another is the Lord said through Joseph Smith, 'I delight in a glad heart and a cheerful countenance.' That arises from the perfection of his attributes. He is jovial, lively person, and a beautiful man." Heber C. Kimball also said, "You've heard me say that I felt joyful, funny, and jocular according to the portion of the Spirit of the Lord I enjoyed. Do I feel like dancing and jumping? Yes, and like doing everything else that is good and comfortable. When I have the Spirit of the Lord, I feel so, and that makes me think that my Father in heaven felt so before me." President Lorenzo Snow said, "The Lord wishes to establish a closer and more intimate relationship between himself and us." Moses, chapter 7, verse 4, "And I saw the Lord, and he stood before my face, and he talked with me, even as a man talketh with another face to face." And the prophet Joseph Smith said, "Jehovah talked with him, Noah, in a familiar and friendly manner." Now, to this list of characteristics, let's add one more. Of all the things I've known about Jesus, perhaps his favorite thing to do is to heal. He heals in so many ways. His thoughts, his voice, his smile, his laugh, his expressions, and yes, his hugs. He's not only good-natured, but also has a fantastic sense of humor that can leave you laughing one minute and tearing up the next. And when you're with him, he's not rushed. He's not thinking of all the millions of things that God should be contemplating. No. He is entirely and singularly focused on you. And in that moment in time, you don't feel one profound truth, that you are his universe and you are his everything. You're invited. When I was in my younger 20s, I had almost no idea how to woo a potential girlfriend. I mean, I could have asked out a rock and it would have hemmed and hawed. Then one day, my best friend Rob gave me some advice that resonated with me just the right way, just the right time. Rob said this to me: attention equals affection. Yeah. One could say that's true not only with women, but also God. Doctrine and Covenants 88, verse 63, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Draw near unto him. Seek him spiritually with your eye of faith. Everything's first created spiritually, then temporally. The same holds true for frequent, meaningful experiences with Jesus, to where you can know for a certainty the character of God. After weeks, months, and years of doing just this, you'll likely develop a far greater realization of his presence in your life. Because of this, you naturally drop the first-person pronouns of I, me, my, because you realize that all along those I's, me's, and my's were actually we's, us's, and ours. You learn just how much you need him. His forgiveness, his wisdom, his compassion, his guidance. And you learn firsthand what he's really like. You sense his friendly advice and his laughs and his cries and more. Much, much more. His presence in your life will be like sweet honey on your lips, like the sound of a symphony in your ears, like holy water on your skin. You're invited to practice doing this every day. Let us know how it's going. Let us know how we can help. And in the meantime, we'll be praying that your spiritual experiences with Jesus will precede future physical experiences with him.
use your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace.